Welcome to DCU's Teaching Enhancement Unit Podcasts, an audio discovery series for teaching and learning in higher education. Hello, my name is Lisa Donaldson and welcome to another episode in the DCU Teaching Enhancement Unit's podcasts called A Discovery Series for Teaching and Learning in Higher Education. This podcast is part of the fellowship theme and I would like to welcome John McMacken from the DCU Business School, who has recently completed his fellowship. Let me start, John, by asking you just to introduce yourself, if you don't mind.
Sure. John McMacken. I'm a lecturer, an assistant professor, as we call it now, in the Business School at Dublin City University. I have a kind of a mixed career. I was a practitioner before I was an academic. I came to teaching and research relatively late in life after a business career. So that gives me a slightly different perspective on it. But it's a pleasure to be here and thanks for having me along.
Super. Thanks for coming along, John. Can I ask you, firstly, what prompted you to undertake the fellowship?
Well, it wasn't something I'd been aware of, to be honest with you. It was new to the university and new to me. I was actually approached by the Associate Dean for Teaching and Learning in the school, Lisa Alfrini, who explained about it to me and said that, asked would I be interested in going forward if the opportunity presented itself. And so I then went and spoke to Mark Lynn, who I knew a lot more about it than I ever would. And he was very helpful and supportive as well. So following those conversations, I felt it was something that I'd be really interested in. And I think what was interesting to me was that it's a validation, I suppose, an opportunity to have some external validation of your teaching commitment. So we do a lot. I spend a lot of my time sending articles to journals and hearing feedback and whatever, but nothing on the teaching other than student feedback. So it was a peer-reviewed kind of assessment of your teaching, which was something that was very appealing to me.
I think it's important to have that kind of validation of teaching excellence. It's not something that you can get every day. So I agree with you there. I ask you, John, what challenges then did you face when you were starting into looking at your application and writing that up?
Yeah, it's, I suppose, quite a few is the answer, because I hadn't done anything like this before. I'm not great at documenting what I do. And so I change what I do quite a lot. So the idea of kind of articulating in a relatively tight word count all that I do in teaching and what it means to me and how I can support that was quite a challenge, and it caused me a bit of angst to begin with. I was very grateful for the support I got. In fact, they say it takes a village. This process took a small town. In my case, I got help from all over the place. But particularly the breakthrough to me day was the day we spent in the TEU, where we got a group of other people were there who were further along than me, including yourself, Lisa, with the process at that time. And that kind of their story, the sharing of that experience and the fact that everybody seemed to have gone through this was a great comfort, and I found that really helpful. So it was only after that I really started writing. I had been playing around with it up to then and overthinking what examples and so forth. Whereas once after that, I just said, okay, I'm setting aside a couple of days. I wrote my first cut at it, just for my own consumption, and then put it away and came back to it and so forth. But that was the first big hurdle. And we had also help with, we were able to get some initial feedback from the HE folks on a draft. And that again was the second big event for me, was being able to get that. That gave me a deadline to work to, which wasn't the ultimate deadline. And that feedback was both encouraging and very specific around things I needed to do as well. So that gave me another shot in the arm to, and I didn't have that long, thankfully. There wasn't that much time between that deadline and the final one, because if I had, I think I might have put it away, and then it's much more difficult to take it back out once it's been away for a while.
Yeah, I think it is a challenge to look inward, and that reflective writing piece can be difficult because we don't often look at what we are teaching and reflect on what's impactful. So I can certainly see that was a challenge. But I would agree the support from the community and hearing other people's experiences can certainly help overcome that.
Yeah, so there was tremendous help and support all along the way. It wasn't that everybody realized it was new to you and new to the university. And so so it was a great, I was very grateful for that because I wouldn't have completed the process otherwise, really.
So can I ask then, you talked about the challenges of time and deadlines, and I'm sure anybody listening will be interested to know, how long does a successful application take? What kind of efforts required for that with regards to preparation time, maybe research, or maybe even just the writing time? Would you be able to speak to a little bit about what kind of workload the application was for you?
Yeah, I think the process began around October for me, September, October in 2019, and was finally submitted in, I think, late January. So there was, it was on my kind of list for that period, so for 3 or 4 months, but I wasn't working on it full time by any means. And so it was really a burst of activity followed by periods of reflection and or waiting for feedback or getting some sort of support. So it was kind of flurries of a day or two and then a period of reflection or a period of feedback and then another run at it. So a total number of days, I'm really not sure, but I suppose maybe 10 days work. If I estimated, to me, it was very similar to drafting an article for a conference. It took about the same amount of work and the same kind of process where you kind of have a first cut to get a bit of feedback, have another go at it. And so it was if an academic was looking at it, I'd say to them, yeah, well, if you plan about the same amount of effort as you have, as you'd put into preparing a conference paper, I think you wouldn't be far off.
Okay. And with regards to the evidence that you needed to pull together to map to the elements of the framework, was that time consuming?
It wasn't particularly. The thing I found that I needed to give some thought and effort to was to organize the references, in fact, which I had because I got one from an overseas university where I teach regularly at the University of Ljubljana in the summer school there, and so the head of the summer school kindly offered to write a reference for me, and so that was something that took a bit of time because I had to explain the process to them and all that. So but no, it was what took more time than it should have in hindsight was choosing the examples and the two big case studies. I think I spent too much time worrying about that, about whether that was the right example or the best example and so forth. When in fact, as I'm always telling students, it's not really the example that matters. It's how it exemplifies the behaviors we're interested in. But I'm very good at telling students that. But when it came to it myself, I agonized endlessly over which examples would be better. And I don't think it did matter terribly.
I think others in going through the process found exactly the same challenge and overthinking which are the best examples to use as part of the two case studies that are required for the application. Can I ask you then, now that you've successfully come out the other side and you've received your senior fellowship with Advance HE, can I ask, what do you think, what benefits accrued to you from the process, from going through that reflective process?
Yeah, well, I suppose having that external validation a peer-reviewed validation of your teaching is a unique thing from my experience, and one that gives me a lot of confidence around what I was doing in a teaching sense, and also motivated me to do more, I suppose, of the leadership side of that in terms of supporting and mentoring others. So I'm hoping, although it was kind of the momentum arising from it was a bit diverted by the crisis and has been a bit, I think that once we get back into whatever version of normality awaits, I think that there is a role to be played in the school there to support, particularly because of a very strong relationship with our ADTL. I think I can contribute significantly in that space to the development of teaching skills in the school. And that's something I look forward to. And I don't think I would have had the confidence to position myself for that without the external badging, if you know what I mean. So that's something I've already started work on, and I'm talking to Iseult about it, so that's great. The other thing I think that the big benefit to me was being put in a position where you had to articulate this capability that you have. You had to provide, gather the evidence, you had to summarize what you'd done, you had to explain why it was, you know, the things you had done had made a difference, and how you measured that and so forth. And all of that was stuff that I'd been avoiding for a long time. I'd never done a teaching philosophy. I'd never done, you know, I'd never articulated this stuff in writing. And so I've been pushed to do that was a very worthwhile experience. It pushed you into reflecting on why you teach and how you teach and why you think things work and whether you can support that or not. I think that's good for your practice. And I've found that I'm clearer about why I do what I do and where I want to focus my efforts teaching wise as well as a result of it. So all of that was have benefits from it that were unexpected for me. I thought it was a kind of a box form-filling, box-ticking kind of a thing. I kind of anticipated, and it wasn't that. It was something very personal and something very worthwhile.
Excellent. So for those that are listening to this podcast and thinking about embarking on the journey of fellowship, finally, would you have any last words of recommendation for them?
Yes. Ask for help would be my major recommendation, because there are tremendous support and resources in the university, particularly in the TEU, but also probably within your own faculty. And ideally, if there's somebody who's been through it in your faculty, they will have had a lot of help, that's for sure. And they will be more than happy. And certainly if it's a business school, I hope people will come to me because it's time to give back for this and for other help I receive all the time. So I'm very happy to do that and to work with somebody, with anybody who wants to pursue it. But also don't talk yourself out of it. You know, we're all busy all the time and it's never going to be a good time to do it, and you might push it off. Just do it, because once it's done, and it doesn't really take that much time. It takes up a bit of headspace more than your actual effort. You can find the time to do it if you want. It's the motivation, and just get over the thinking about it phase quickly and just go and do it. Sign up, go do it, go to the TEU and get the help you need and ask for whatever other help you need, and set yourself tight deadlines and stick with them.
Super. Thanks very much for your insights, John, and congratulations again.
Thanks very much, Lisa. I really appreciate it. Thank you.